Hello and welcome to the Whole Truth Project. I'm Shashank Mehta, founder at thewholetruthfoods.com. At The Whole Truth, we are on a mission to simplify our food and release it from the grip of big food marketeers. And we do this by focusing on the fundamentals of food and fitness. Basically, you will not find a 7 ways to get six-pack abs here. Instead, what you will find is that in each episode, we'll pick one fundamental food and nutrition topic and dig deep. We'll bring together a panel of experts with whom I'll host this as a roundtable as we go about unearthing the 360-degree, unbiased truth of the topic at hand. That's it. That's our project. Let's dive right in. In this episode, we discuss the biology and the psychology of sugar with Ashton. Ashton is going to help us understand what makes sugar so addictive. How has it managed to penetrate all aspects of our life, from being in the treats for happy times to something that we want for a lift in our mood? And he's also going to share some important and scientific steps on living a healthy lifestyle which is free of added sugar.
Ashton, there seems to be a sudden universal uprising against sugar. Some of it is informed, but some of it is, again, you know, just a general feeling that now everyone has, that all sugar is bad.
Absolutely.
Can you start by talking about both the various kinds of sugar and whether all of them are really bad?
So, you know, it's interesting when we start thinking about sugar, we just think everything is sugar. You know, we bucket everything down into this one big pile. And very often we don't realize why sugar is bad. You know, like, what is this whole thing with sugar that we have to keep fighting with it? And the interesting thing is that there are three big reasons. One is that sugar has snuck into every aspect of our life. Basically, what has happened is that we have become so accustomed to the sweet taste that we're constantly looking for it everywhere. Now, sugar was originally meant to be a little, you know, an embellishment on your food, you know, a dessert at the end, a little bit something special. But now we're getting something sweet in the morning as soon as we wake up. Even our toothpaste is sweet. So we suddenly realize that sweetness has become such an aspect of the way that we live. So that is the first thing, because, you know, we're seeing sugar everywhere. The second aspect of sugar is that it is highly, highly addictive. We're constantly getting addicted to sugar in the format of, you know, I feel like having this now. Once you eat something, sugar makes you want to eat more of something, makes you want to eat more of something else, and it keeps increasing that way. So the second aspect is addictiveness. But the last one is very important, which is about our habits. You know, we've been brought up having sugar. So every time it is linked to our emotions, you're sad, you eat something sweet. Correct? You're happy, you eat something sweet. Like my grandmother, every time I came home crying from school, would bake me a cake or a pudding. So she used to make this fantastic bread pudding, right? So she would bake that for me. So in my mind, every time I'm down, associated with sweet. So this is why sugars become bad. You know, per se, in small quantities, perfectly fine. That's normal. You know, when we break up sugar into its various parts, the most famous are sucrose and fructose. Right? These are the two that we know of. So well. Now, we think fructose is good for us. Why do we think fructose is good for us? Are it because it comes from fruits. It's natural. So because it's natural, it must be good for us. But what's interesting about fructose is that your body doesn't recognize it as a substance. And it actually treats fructose as a toxin, which is why fructose gets processed in the liver. It's not absorbed into your bloodstream immediately like sucrose is. So what happens when you have fructose is that your body has to work extra hard over time to get it out of your system. So your liver has to function. And what that does is that your liver slowly, slowly starts degenerating and you start getting the same issues as alcoholics do. So you get something called fatty liver disease, right? Liver sclerosis. Why? Because of the amount of fructose that you're getting in. Now, does that mean fruits are bad? No. Fruits are good in quantity. So you understand the quantity of fruits and then it makes sense. So the correct quantity of an apple is half an apple. Correct quantity of a banana is one small banana, right? And which apples are we talking about? The old apples, you know, the ones that we used to get when we were children, the tiny ones, not these big monsters that we're getting now. And the worst form of this is the fructose that comes from juices, because ultimately what we've done is we've squeezed out the fiber, which slows down the process of absorption. So, you know, while we might talk about all these different kinds of sugars and sugar alcohols, it's a rabbit hole. Honestly, you know, you need to have a degree to figure out all these different kinds of sugar. And that's why the, you know, the industries are making it so hard for you to figure this out. But if you stick to the broad principles, saying that I need to cut down on my sweet, like I have a nice phrase that I learned from this person called Dr. Gundry, which was retreat from sweet. If you can retreat from the sweet and figure it out or reduce the quantity, you're steadily starting to make better choices. So overall, don't think about sugar and the formats of it. Try just retreating from sweet as much as possible.
Got it. I think that's a great point you make about, and I'm happy we started with fructose and fruits. The one thing that we see it, you know, as a manufacturer of food from this side,
yes,
is whenever you extract sugar out of anything, you know, we get a lot of questions about, is coconut sugar bad? Is jaggery bad? Is date sugar bad? Right? Whenever you extract sugar out of its natural source and it becomes really, it loses all its nutrients, loses the fiber, loses the minerals that it comes with, its ability to satiate you goes down and its ability to spike your insulin goes up. So any extracted form of sugar is bad. And hence, if you apply that fundamental to juices in large quantity can be really bad. They have the same amount of sugar as your colas. But when you have them as a fruit, as it is, chances are you will not be able to overeat on a fruit unless it's grapes or something which are really easy to overeat on. It's really tough to have two apples in one go because it also satiates you. Yeah. So one rule that we follow is it satiating you? Is it making you feel, bus, I don't want to have more? Or is it making you feel, give me more? That's a differentiation to make. Ashden, I know that you have many, many both clients and people who follow you with whom you do this 30-day off no sugar challenge. Tell me, what's the biggest challenge you've seen them face?
You know, the funny thing is that as a habit coach, people keep asking me about habits, good habits, bad habits, right? And exactly what you were talking about, Shashank, which is that a bad habit is what gives you instant gratification. You know, something that gives you instant gratification is almost always falling into that bad habit category. If you can delay the gratification, it's more of a goodish habit. Exercise feels horrible while you're doing it, but you've delayed the gratification. Sugar feels damn good while you're having it, feels horrible later on. And we do this no sugar challenge for 30 days, almost every month. And I've been doing this now, I think, for the last 4 years, 5 years. I just saw old posts from Facebook where I was talking about it. And that time, the first time we did it, we were doing a 100-day challenge. And we had about 250 people doing that with us. And it was a crazy experience, right? Because about 20% dropped off over the 100 days, but those that didn't saw a dramatic change. What I want to talk about is why most people don't even start this process. Okay. So the toughest things to give up for most people are their morning habits, being your chai or that coffee, your tea or coffee in the morning, you know. Probably why the British Empire like got so addicted to sugar was because of their tea, maybe. Okay. So like the hardest thing to give up is your morning chai or that morning coffee. Why? Because we are so emotionally attached to it. It's been part of our routine for so many years that even if there's a little change to it, we're not happy. We feel that the rest of our day is going to go out the window. In fact, it's the perfect example of a habit because, you know, a habit turns into a routine, which then turns into a ritual. You know, that superstitious ritual that if I didn't get it, it's not going to be good enough. So that morning chai is the hardest for people to give up and hence they don't start. The second thing that was extremely hard to give up is tomato ketchup, your sauces. Now, I was addicted to tomato ketchup. I used to put tomato ketchup on everything, on my dal rice, on my fried eggs. If I could probably put it on my ice cream, I would have. So I probably had more ketchup in my veins than I had blood. And for me, this was the biggest challenge when I was giving up sugar as well, because how do I get my dose of ketchup, right? And half the time, I remember starting the no sugar challenge and not realizing the ketchup had sugar in it. So I had to figure that part out. And then I finally started making ketchup at home till I gave up on all the sauces. So that's the second one that's really hard. The last part that is hard when you give up sugar is having friends tell you, no, you know what, have a little bit, you know, just a little bit. It won't make a difference. And if you're someone like me, who is a complete sugar addict, like self-proclaimed, I will eat this much, but then I'll end up eating the rest of the chocolate bar or whatever else is there. Right. So if I have a tiny bite, the rest of it is gone. So these three aspects, I think, are the hardest when you're giving up sugar. The first is those routines that are definitely surrounding your sugar and your sugar fix. You know, like you're talking about your evening chai, how can it not be there? Your morning chai, how can it not be there? The second is your condiments, ketchups. And finally, the last part is like how your friend circle. How are you going to give up on your friend circle? So, which is why I think the best way to do it is have a challenge. So then you say, no, guys, I'm on a challenge. I'm sorry. This stupid person called Ashton has put me on this. So, you know, I have to do it. Even that small one will break my challenge. So I think after the first 2-3 times, people stop bugging you.
But let me ask you, Ashton, decode this one thing for me, which really drives me nuts. We, all of us in the health, wellness industry, to one way or the other, whatever the industry is, are seeing that consumers are getting more and more aware about sugar and its bad effects. And yet, obesity, diabetes, all the numbers are on all-time highs. Explain this dichotomy to me. Why is this happening?
So one is that people want to perceive food that is healthy, even though it's not healthy. So for example, there's this fantastic documentary that I was watching the other day, Super Size Me Part 2. Where he goes around making a chicken restaurant. So it was fascinating. And all of them spoke about something called the health halo, which was, how do you make a product look good even though it's not good health-wise for you? So many of us are moving to what we think is healthier food, even though it is not necessarily healthy for us. What happens is that you have this health halo around it. So something that looks good and what we think is healthy for us, we end up eating more of, correct? So the quantities then go out the window. As it is, quantities have gone out the window because, I don't know if you remember this, but when we were children, my dessert used to be like 1/5 of a dessert. We would order one dessert and everybody on the table would share it. Correct? Now we each order individual desserts. So the way that our quantities have changed is a dramatic way in which also our health has changed, obesity has changed, all those parameters. So the same way, health food has come in, but the quantity has increased. And as a result, we're seeing similar things.
So Ashton, one of the questions we've gotten from our listeners is, I stress eat a lot and stress isn't going away anytime soon. So how, in the presence of stress, do I give up on sugary food and delink the two things?
So it's very interesting. So one is, of course, stress eating is a very, very real thing, right? Different people have different relationships with food. So because of stress, some people eat too much, some people don't eat at all. So stress eating has two aspects of it. Now, the way to understand it is, how do you de-link food from the stress? And why should you do it? Correct? So what happens is that for many of us, food becomes like company. It becomes like a best friend. It becomes like a, you know, that warm, comforting blanket. And once we start realizing this and start realizing where our triggers are for these kind of things, the stress eating can start slowing down slowly, slowly. Notice that you're never stress eating for nutrition. So it's not that you can replace that brownie with something that's healthier. No, you want that brownie because of the way it makes you feel. So unfortunately, stress eating is one of the hardest things to get rid of. I fall prey to it all the time. There are times when I've gone through something in my life that I couldn't figure out how else to do. I stress eat. I know that, you know, it is a reality. There is no magic trick to get away from it. But to become conscious about it, saying that, okay, right now I'm stress eating. Okay, I understand. Right now I'm stress eating. Okay, I understand. And then slowly, because of the conscious effort, you start stress eating lesser. The last aspect of this is, don't have too many things at home that you will stress eat. You know, if it's a little harder to do, as in you have to go down to the shop to buy, the chances of you doing it will, you know, decrease. The biggest problem right now is that we have all these apps that deliver food home, which is making it really hard because it's just so simple to just punch in something and have like a gooey brownie delivered to your doorstep. I've worked with clients where we deleted those apps, made sure that they don't get back on it. So that is how you start dealing with it. Stress eating is very, very real. Start learning to manage stress first and then figure out how to deal with the stress eating part.
You know, while we said that the whole topic of artificial sweeteners, which seemed to be, you know, the best thing that could ever happen to mankind, which, by the way, happened 60 years ago, is when we started with the artificial sweeteners. Because you get all the sweetness at zero calories, then obesity should have gotten solved. Then diabetes should have gotten solved. But it's been 60 years. Every 10 years, we find a new God's gift to mankind compound, which is the best artificial sugar now in town. And yet, none of the markers are getting better. How does one explain that dichotomy?
So, it's very interesting. Many of the artificial sweeteners that were created actually started killing off all your gut bacteria. And what that did was that increases your chance of obesity. So there was this fantastic study that was done where one set of people were given your normal sugary soda and the other group was given your diet soda. And the diet soda chaps actually increased weight-wise than the other ones did. Why? Because what was happening was the gut bacteria was starting to get killed off. Now, that is something that we've learned over the years. And you start looking for newer forms of sugar, well, not sugar, but newer forms of something sweet, because we're so addicted to that flavor of sweet. And which is why now we're moving to things like stevia, we're moving to things like monk fruit, because that's what we currently think is good. Who knows, 5 years down the line might be something else. We'll find something different, which is why I think, you know, as far as possible, see how little of this you can use in your lifestyle. Correct. Now, if you were using a crazy amount of sugar earlier, if there was 20 instances of sugar in your day earlier on, you replace 20 of them with 10 of these artificial ones and slowly start reducing it. You now only have 4 instances of something sweet in your day. You made such a dramatic difference. So, for example, for me, I don't think I have something sweet at all through the day except for maybe a protein shake or something else. So I've tried reducing it down to maybe 2 such instances in the day when I would be exposing myself to the flavor sweet. And now, how do you get rid of that need for something sweet? You move to something bitter. You would have noticed that we've actually moved away from bitter foods and thought of bitter foods as something that's bad for us. Correct? If we can start moving towards bitter foods more, the chances of you being able to give up the sweeter foods increases dramatically. And bitter foods are typically higher in all your polyphenols, the stuff that, you know, which we call antioxidants and those aspects of food. So as a result, it is better to get into that category, explore your taste buds. There are so many different flavors. Let us explore those and understand what kind of foods, you know, we can actually enjoy without feeling that we're depriving ourselves.
Explore your taste buds. That's a very, very interesting thought to end this podcast with. Thank you so much for being with us, Ashton. Folks, we hope this discussion makes it easier for you to get off sugar with some very practical lifestyle changes. We have a longer discussion on the history of sugar with food anthropologist Kumud Dadlani and with Sanjeevni about her experience on giving up sugar for 30 days. Check out episode 1 of the Whole Truths Project. And if you like this, you'll love it. And remember that we release a new podcast every Sunday. So don't forget to subscribe and share. And do follow us for more awesome content on Instagram and Twitter. Links are in the episode description. Ciao for now.